Tuesday, April 3rd, 2012, and this is another edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Coming up tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, we talk to former Treasury agent and IRS whistleblower Joe Bannister about the government's attempts to silence him. Then, Mitt Romney's wife had blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs' sex trafficking fund connected to sex slavery. Poland breaks its silence about CIA's secret prison. The UN's up to its same old dirty tricks with more sick and disgusting activities trying to brainwash children into accepting abortions and more. We'll also chronicle the latest TSA outrages. We take you now to the InfoWars.com News Center. First off tonight, let's look at, well, something that isn't a shocker to InfoWars.com viewers, but is shocking people in the UK media and the US media. The story is starting to get really big. Daily Mail reports Mitt Romney's wife had blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs' sex trafficking fund. Now, the issue here is, and I'm not defending Mitt Romney's wife, it is a blind trust. It's kind of like Michael Moore invested in Halliburton. I can believe that she wasn't paying attention. But the real issue is hiding in plain view here. Why does Goldman Sachs have a fund connected to not just prostitution, but also sex slaves, which is a huge business the UN's involved in? DynCorp, Halliburton have been caught involved in it and never get in trouble. I mean, I challenge you to just go do some basic researches like Halliburton, DynCorp, sex slavery, child sex slavery, UN sex slavery, children's sex slavery. You won't get hundreds of articles. You'll get thousands. And it's like, oh, well, if some kidnapper grabs a kid on his own and rapes him, it's the end of the world, all over the news, shutting down whole cities, searching for him. And we should. People that hurt the innocents are the lowest form of trash. But when it's governments and big corporations, it's like, yeah, she was invested in the sex slave rings, the white slavery. How dare her? And I do think that it's immoral to put something in a blind trust and just claim, oh, I don't know what I'm investing in. It is a big cop-out. So it's a big strike against her and Mittens, Romney, you know, Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. But the larger issue is, why isn't the media asking, why does Goldman Sachs, one of the most criminal organizations on the face of the world, top of the pyramid of the New World Order, pushing carbon taxes, all of it, why aren't they in trouble for being invested in all of this? So that's just a small tidbit of it. It reminds me of when Senator Graham from Texas got caught, you know, financing porno movies, and he was Mr. Christian, Mr. Conservative. But that was with full-grown women. And so I didn't make that big a deal out of it. But this, when you're talking about sex slavery, which is these poor women in Europe think they're getting a job, they get kidnapped basically, pimps control them, but now they're doing it with underage people, those involved in this need to be executed. The only problem is you can't trust a government that's this criminal and who has been caught framing innocent people in the past, you can't trust them to carry out the death penalty. So I say lock them up or put all these vampires on an island by themselves where there's no children for them to abuse. Incredible. And because we've gotten onto this subject, I thought I'd show you here with the document cam. What this illustrates is the same attitude of too big to fail with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan creating derivatives and then demanding government with our tax money prop them up. And then they pose as our saviors and say, give up more of our rights. What it points out is too big to fail is also too big to go to jail. And how is Goldman Sachs getting away with this illegal sex trafficking? I mean, even if these women were of age, it's still illegal. But these are people that are being kidnapped. This is incredible. So hidden in plain view. I thought I'd dovetail that with a few articles that have come out that show these very same groups are above the law. You got Wells Fargo, that's Warren Buffett, and its subsidiary, Wachovia. Look at this number, $378.4 billion. $378.4 billion in laundered money over 2 years. Remember, this came out over a year ago, and no one even got in trouble. When it became an issue, they had to pay a 1.3% fine. So that's like I rob a bank and steal $1 million and I pay a couple thousand dollars, basically, to the cops. I mean, you're going to keep robbing banks. And it's just a few banks that are able to do this. Six mega global banks, okay? And the top ones out of the U.S. are JP Morgan Chase, number one. Then you've got the big brokerage outfit, investment bank, that does the dirty work, like it's Darth Vader to Emperor Palpatine. Emperor Palpatine is JP Morgan Chase. Goldman Sachs is the Darth Vader enforcer. And then you go down the line, you got Bank of America, you got Citibank, you've got Wells Fargo, and then you've got a consortium of Rothschild banks over in Europe. But really, it's six big conglomerates, and they are above the law. Here it is. Banks financing Mexican gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. Owning the aircraft, running it all, the weapons, everything. Okay? This government is an illegitimate joke. Do I like people that are involved in the drug trade? No, I think it's seedy and horrible. And the criminals that are involved in the drug trade locally would be involved in other things if drugs were decriminalized. So I get putting them in jail, but it's still all a fraud because the big conduit bringing the drugs in is the big megabanks. This is the New World Order. It'd be so easy just to arrest these head bankers, shut down their Federal Reserve System, restore the Republic, end the empire. Either it's that or let them implode everything. Okay, here's another one. Wachovia to settle money laundering case, again, for $160 million on $370-plus bill. And my mind can't even get around $370-plus bill. I always say $276 bill until I go look the article up. It's like my mind automatically downgrades, for whatever reason, the sheer magnitude of what we're dealing with. All right, let's shift gears now. To our next report, away from the sex slavery the UN and the globalists run, to Poland. Breaks its silence about secret CIA prison. You know, 3 months ago, there was a Washington Post article out of the Carolinas, and they were saying, well, locals are tired of people being taken to the local torture dungeon at the airport and flown out of the country. There was a concentration camp article hidden in plain view in the Washington Post, and they were reporting on it like they were talking about, oh, some locals don't like it. They got black sites, I mean secret ghost sites, in Poland, in Romania, in Egypt, in Jordan, in Israel, and they're taking citizens to them. And the reason Obama's coming out and admitting this now, yeah, we'll kill you, yeah, we'll torture you, is because people in government are like, this is illegal. This is, and they're like, no, 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 we put it on the news. Kind of like, yeah, it came out, we're growing the opium, it was on Fox News. Oh, we grow the opium, it's patriotic. We catch you using it, you go to prison, though, back in America. See, this is all a psychological game where the criminals go, hey, we're getting caught here. Well, just admit we've got prisons all over. Secret kidnap prisons where we torture you and get you to do whatever we want or test vaccines on you. Europe, polls talk about CIA prison break silence. And they're like, hey, we used to team up with America against the Soviet tyranny, but we've seen this before. We're not going along with your tyranny. Well, it's not America tyranny. It's banker tyranny. Americans, on average, are good, hardworking people, but they're extremely naive and believe that we're the good guys. Because in history, overall, we've been the good guys. Overall. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but compared to a lot of other countries, we've been the best there is. But because we made all that wealth through liberty, we became the magnet for all the criminals. Because we were the big, powerful engine. We've now been taken over. So good job to the polls, who really appreciated America helped, you know, liberate them from Russian domination. And, but now, 20 years later, they're waking up. For years, the notion that Poland could allow CIA to operate a secret prison in a remote lake region was treated as a crackpot idea by the country's politicians, journalists, and the public. Yeah, they just called it a conspiracy theory. But now, the AP, Reuters, Daily Mail all report that the government now admits that that is indeed going on. Again, oh, the Federal Reserve's private. Ha ha ha, they're kooks. Now it's admitted. Oh, we're going to secretly arrest you. Ha ha, kooks. Now admitted. Oh, the government brings drugs in. Ha ha, kooks. Now admitted. See, when you hear them say, oh, kook, nut job, crazy, that's usually just a label to shut down debate. Okay? Here's another one. Country rises up in support of New Hampshire hero. A 61-year-old New Hampshire man with a single handedly captured a serial burglar in his town of Farmington, was arrested and charged with a felony and forced to surrender all his guns for firing one shot into the ground in the woods, which resulted in the capture of the serial burglar who had been terrorizing neighbors in his small New England town to satisfy his drug habit. Again, the system is scared to death of citizens standing up for themselves. Whether George Zimmerman was right or wrong, they're picking him because they think he can be proven he's wrong to demonize anybody else delivering justice. Because there's a crime wave in this country because of the Depression. And the system wants to use that crime wave to destabilize things, to call for big government. They don't want the 5 million guns being bought and the people arming themselves every month to have the idea that we can defend ourselves. So good news that folks are standing up for that fellow who folks are trying to demonize. Okay, continuing here, another broken Obama promise. How do you know what Obama's going to do? It's a very clear roadmap. It's 100% accurate. He will do the opposite of what he promised to do. Would hire no lobbyist, hired more than anybody ever hired. Would have a more transparent government than anybody, the most secretive ever. Would support journalist rights and whistleblowers. Arrest hundreds of whistleblowers of government corruption. Arrest mainstream media people and throw them in prison for talking to whistleblowers that expose corruption. I mean, just off the charts, no one's secret arrest, would end torture, expanded wars, everything. Said he'd give you socialist healthcare, not that that's good. Gave you fascist healthcare written by the healthcare industry to cut the type of healthcare you get and force people to buy the crap care, excuse me. Well, he promised to kick the feds out of the states, that he would follow the 10th Amendment and let states decriminalize marijuana. For all its hundreds and hundreds of medical uses. Certainly it's abused, but if people want to do that, that's their issue. The drug war only makes the prices go up, the quality go down, and gives money to criminals. You decriminalize, you can tax it. All those arguments are there. I mean, even Pat Robertson understands this now. I mean, if Pat Robertson gets it, you'd think Obama could get this. But see, it's about money and federal power. So he did a 180. And they are SWAT teaming all over the country, shutting down legal dispensaries that under state, county, and city rules are churning out tons of profits into the tax rolls. And now they have raided one of the big events that was just introducing people as a job fair into it. Not just marijuana with the cannabinoids in it that actually has the medical effects, but people that were also going to start growing it and being involved in making clothing out of it. And it's much better, softer, lasts longer than cotton, which is one big reason they banned even non-THC marijuana back in the 30s was because it was competing with the cotton industry. So then they sent in a bunch of feds, a bunch of idiots that get off on being on power trips. Why don't you go bust John Corzine? Why don't you go bust people kidnapping little kids like Goldman Sachs? No, you're not going to do that. It's all about the power trip of these guys, their little federal outfits all being tough. You people are a joke. People watch too much TV when you're growing up, what it means to be a Fed. Being a Fed on average is being an errand boy for the mega banks raping this country and the world. It's like going and joining the Communist Party under Stalin or something. I mean, you're a joke. You've disgraced your family name on average. You're like, no, we haven't. Well, then speak out against everything else. If you're not doing what Joe Bannister did and other people who are honorable, then you're a joke, okay? I don't care if you're not committing crimes. If you're sitting in this corrupt system right now, not speaking up against it, you're aiding and abetting. You're an accomplice. You understand that. You supposedly took criminology, or what were you, smoking pot during that part of class, and now you're busting folks that smoke pot? I see these cops all the time who'll bust a 18-year-old who's dating his 17-year-old sweetheart, and they'll charge them with pedophilia and statutory rape and make them a sex offender for life. Meanwhile, the government and different groups are kidnapping 3-year-old kids for snuff films on record, and nothing's done. See, that's how you do it. You go bust somebody that hadn't really committed a crime, but then you aid and abet the real crimes. That's what I'm talking about. This is so sick. And then I asked police, even on air, I've asked them before, who were involved in arresting people for statutory rape when there are people who are like 1 year apart. You see it in the news all the time. That, you know, a guy was a senior, graduates, his girlfriend's now a senior, he's in college, they're dating, she's 17, he goes to jail. And then a lot of times, even though the guy's a sex offender, now they're married. Again, this is how they target people that aren't criminals. All these laws are written to be selectively enforced. In fact, another article that I want to go to right now, DHS to grant illegal aliens unlawful presence waivers. This is what Obama said he wanted to do. Sheriffs have said this has been going on. And by the way, cops are getting paid off to issue these. The feds are. They'll do staged arrests sometimes of illegals working at meatpacking plants, and they drive them over to the local ICE facility and give them green cards on the spot. Then they just use this to selectively harass people, so these documents have come out. Just total criminality by government, another example of selective enforcement right there. Okay, let's go ahead and go to the next piece of news here. I'm talking about the UN and perverted activity. The UN is producing training, seminars, and videos and pushing through UNESCO that sets our education policy here in the U.S. under treaty to teach children as young as 10 things that I can't even mention here on air. And it teaches them that abortions are great and that you need to get them and that it's trendy. Yeah, the list is too ridiculous to even say on air. I know we have children watching, and I am not going to tell you what they're teaching people in public schools worldwide under UN directives, because it is pure pedophilia. That's what TSA is. It's all pedophile training. They admit that's what it is. I can't even. Bodies can feel good when they're touched, and it teaches you when you're 10 to have same sex, opposite sex touch you. I mean, this is so sick. God, this is an army of pedophiles with nuclear weapons. I mean, that's what the New World Order is. I mean, I just, at the top of it, they want world government. They want to be above the law so they can rape kids and kill kids. I mean, it's beyond evil. I just know this. You people are going to be brought to justice. Whew, man, it just freaks me out. It gets me so angry reading this kind of stuff, because they do it in plain view. They're so evil. They're so evil. Here's another one. Who is Kofi Annan, the United Nations peacekeeper, handpicked by the CIA? Got a report on that. His whole background as a CIA operative and how they use the money for food to actually kill populations. Former UN Secretary General, Nobel Prize winner, Kofi Annan, has been designated by Ban Ki-moon as a joint special envoy to negotiate a peaceful solution in Syrian crisis. With Annan's extraordinary experience and shiny brand image, his appointment was welcomed by all. They're funding al-Qaeda rebels to attack the Syrian government and calling them peace activists as they rocket attack people. Unbelievable information. Now let's shift gears from this tyrant to the federal Gestapo minions of the TSA. They put out an ad placement saying that they want people who have imperious natures. Imperious, it means domineering in a haughty manner. It is very effeminate tyranny, the way they act. Dictatorial and overbearing. And they say that that's what they want, is people that will dominate the public, drive them into submission. And that's up in Ann Arbor. Yep, only two qualifications. You must be a U.S. citizen, and you're required to have a high school diploma or an equivalent, and like to, well, teach children that pedophiles are going to gang rape them. Now let's go to our quote of the day before we go to break and come back with the one, the only, Joe Bannister, from good old Sam Adams. He'd be a terrorist today. He'd need a vaccine to make him submit to government, to make him not feel anxious anymore, like they're saying. Just take your shot, Sam Adams. You'll feel better. And he's like, no, I just think I'll drink a lager. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And the government's got a vaccine for that to cut out those brush fires of liberty. All right, we'll be right back after this quick break. Please don't forget, we are listener and viewer supported. If you're the millions of people watching this in England, or on some cable systems here in the U.S. or on YouTube, that's great. That's our mission. But if you want to pay it forward and fund us getting more reporters, better equipment, so we can bring you even more hardcore information and ferret out stories, be sure to become a subscriber, PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. And we have a 15-day free trial running right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. and one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure big brush finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King large version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. I'm announcing our biggest contest ever. And we're looking for people who love freedom and who want to be all in the resistance to tyrants. So you say you want to fight the New World Order. Why, if you were on the radio, if you were Alex Jones, you'd really kick some globalist ass. Well, here's your chance. We're hiring not one, but two new reporters whose reports are going to be on the radio, whose reports are going to be on the nightly news, who will even anchor the show. If you're ready, here's your chance to step into my shoes, and I hope you surpass what I've done. Two winners, $10,000 in prizes, and a shot to be a reporter inside the InfoWars.com command center. We're looking to hire one male reporter and one female reporter. And when you win $5,000. Your video gets seen by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on YouTube, and you get put into the very front of the running to be hired as a reporter slash anchor right here in our operation. Do you have what it takes to be the next InfoWarrior? The rules are posted below me here and at InfoWars.com. This is a big deal. You know, the globalists are expanding their global empire, but at the same time, the people are waking up all over the world. We've expanded our operations in the last year. We've added the nightly news 5 nights a week. We're making more special reports. We're reaching 15 million people every week. In a year, I want that to be 30 million. This is your chance to join the team. I want to see what you can do. But a big hint is this. Can your news piece make the news? Does it get people's attention? Does it educate people? Does it open minds? That's more important than being beautiful or speaking with perfect eloquence as an orator. All of that is important. But we're looking for people that have that magic spark, that fire of liberty in their heart. Because I want you to join our team. I want to give you a launch pad so you can really take off and engage the globalist. And if this works, we'll have contests all the time, and we'll continue to build this operation. I'm involved in a talent search, looking for people who have the fires of liberty burning in their hearts and their minds. You've got until April 30th to complete your news report, and then we'll announce the winners 1 week later. Are you going to join the info war? Do you have what it takes? It's up to you. All serious entries will be posted on InfoWars.com. So everybody wins. You're getting the message of liberty out, and that's what really matters. But in the final equation, it's not about showing Alex Jones what you got. It's about showing the world and the globalist that no army can stop an idea whose time has come. Join me in the InfoWar. So you say you want to fight the info war. You say you want to go head up against the New World Order. You could do a better job than Alex Jones. I know you can. And here's your chance to prove your mettle. We're back. Thank you for joining us for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We're joined now by Joe Bannister, who really is a hero because he has courage. And in a world where courage is such a rare quantity, it's even more precious. He was a Treasury agent, armed agent, criminal investigator, assigned to the IRS. And I'll get him to recap his story, but to make a long story short, because it's important, because it's about other people's awakenings that have since happened, or people that find out the truth and decide to just go along with the system. And so that's really the story of life. Are you going to stand up for what's right, or are you going to just go along with the system? Are you going to just follow orders? But he heard a talk radio host with a guest on exposing the IRS as a collection agency for the Federal Reserve, that the Federal Reserve was private, New World Order. Well, he thought, you know what, I'm going to disprove this, because he liked the radio show. He listened to it routinely, and he was going to contact the show and show them the error of their ways. Well, he found out that the guests and the hosts were not lying, and then that led him into all of the different adventures, some of which could have put him underneath the jail. Joe Bannister joins us, and you'll also see under him his website where you can get some of the key reports that he's written to give to your friends and family so they can understand exactly what this multi-armed, tentacled creature is. And, of course, we're talking about the IRS. So, Joe, it is great to have you here with us. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Start at the beginning and then run right through the trial, how they tried to imprison you. And then I want to get into some of the things that are currently happening in the world and get your take on that.
Very well. Well, thank you again for having me. Basically, I graduated from college in 1986 from San Jose State University and got an accounting degree and moved into the accounting profession. And after a few years in the accounting profession, I looked at what I was doing and what my boss was doing, and I thought, there's no way that I can do this kind of accounting work for another, 30 years. I need something a little more exciting. Yet I didn't want to abandon my skills, financial and tax and accounting skills. So I looked around at my friends and even many family members, and a number of them were in law enforcement, mostly local and state law enforcement. But I had at least one friend who was in federal law enforcement. He actually worked for the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, and he had friends who worked in the FBI. And so through talking with them, I got very excited that they said, oh, the FBI loves to get their hands on CPAs and attorneys to become special agents. And I think they'd really like your qualifications. And so my Bob, who ended up becoming my boss years later at the IRS, put me in touch with these various FBI agents. And so I did pursue an application with the Federal Bureau of Investigation back in the early 90s. And I also, as a backup plan, submitted an application to the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. Now, at that time, of course, my heart was set on the FBI because at least prior to Waco and those kinds of things, the FBI had a reputation. They had TV shows about them, and everybody thought it was really cool to be an FBI agent. But there weren't that many great TV shows or public support for the IRS, so I wasn't that thrilled with the IRS option. So I pursued the FBI full blast and actually qualified to be sent to Quantico, Virginia. But there in the early 90s, there was a hiring freeze at the FBI, which ended up meaning that they couldn't actually hire me and send me to Quantico, Virginia. Well, in the meantime, while I was waiting, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division called me and asked me if I'd been interested in a position at the San Francisco office. I grew up in San Jose, California, about 50 miles to the south of San Francisco. And given that the FBI couldn't hire me and I did want to get into law enforcement, my friend, Bob Guarini, said, hey, go ahead and interview and see what happens. Well, the IRS did, in fact, extend me an offer, and it was November of 1993 when I was sworn in as an IRS special agent. And just for the listeners' information, there are all kinds of, as they're affectionately called, alphabet soup agencies. Well, the IRS is no exception. They have a criminal investigation division component, and it is staffed by about 3,000 special agents or criminal investigators. And those special agents are looked at the same in the federal government as an FBI agent or a Secret Service agent. The designation is GS-1811. So I became a GS-1811 in November of 1993.
And that's basically under Treasury, isn't it?
It was at that time. Of course, now everything's changing around and everything's becoming under the Department of Homeland Security. But IRS was and still is under the Treasury umbrella. So I was hired in November of 1993, and I expected, of course, my brothers by that time were in local and state law enforcement. At this point, my brothers are a battalion chief in a fire department, a lieutenant in the state patrol, and a police officer in San Jose. So they all got the jobs and intended to spend a full 30-year career there. I only had to spend 20 years to fulfill a full career span in the IRS, and I intended to do so. I got in when I was about 30, and that was my expectation. But about 3 years into my career at the IRS, I was, as you said, really described it perfectly. I was listening to a talk radio show. The host was a gentleman named Jeff Metcalf, and his guest was D.V. Kidd. She's still around and beating the drum for us all. And D.V. Kidd was talking about the income tax, the Federal Reserve, the New World Order. She didn't really get into a lot on the radio, but she got into enough about the income tax that it really got me, because I thought, either I'm a terrible investigator because this host and this guest now have fooled me, or there's something to this message. But I really couldn't accept either one of those, because the first one would hurt my ego, that I wasn't a good investigator and people could fool me very easily. And the second one was that the career that I had put my life into, and really the income tax system I had wrapped my entire professional life around, was somehow, there was something wrong with it. I mean, legally wrong and morally wrong. And so I decided to look into these claims that DV Kid made on the radio that day. And that was in December of 1996, about 3 years into my career. And so I got some booklets that DV Kid offered. She was only offering them for $1 a piece, so she wasn't making any money off of them, but they're about 40 or 50 pages a piece. One was called Blind Loyalty, and the other was called Why a Bankrupt America. And she spoke about, or wrote about, the Federal Reserve and the income tax and New World Order and all these kinds of things. And what I found interesting about her books is that they were very well, not only very well researched, but they were very well backed up. She would actually list the names and addresses, and in some cases, telephone numbers of some of the people that were making these claims about the income tax. And so one day I just thought, you know what? I need to find these things out, and I'm going to call these people directly. And, you know, this wasn't some kind of a, it wasn't a sanctioned IRS investigation. It was a human being, an American, someone who thought that he was doing the right thing, using his financial skills to protect his country. And then hearing someone say, no, that's not what you're doing for those people. So I really felt, you know, an ethical, moral need to find out what was going on, not to mention a duty. So I did start to call some of these people that were listed in DV Kid's booklets. And to, you know, just shorten the story a great deal, I spent about 2 years while I went to work every day as an IRS special agent. On evenings and weekends, I would continue to dig and dig and dig and document and research and investigate to determine if these claims that DV Kid made about the reach and authority of the IRS and the federal income tax laws, if they were true. And my expectation was that if it was not true, that I would, of course, expose her and the host, Jeff Metcalf, as liars. And I really didn't contemplate the other alternative, that they were actually telling the truth and what I would do about that. But after that 2 year period of evenings and weekends, I came to the conclusion that, at least a preliminary conclusion, that indeed they pointed to a lot of facts and evidence that I couldn't poke holes into. And it was so factual and so strong that I felt a compelling need to, I had a duty to speak up about what I had found. And I knew, of course, I wasn't so blind to think that this couldn't have caused harm to my career and my family and things. But again, that sense of duty, the fact that I took an oath on the first day of my job to support and defend the Constitution, and I was always mindful of that oath as I did my duties as an IRS special agent, that I felt I really had no choice but to at least speak up and question my supervisors and my peers at the IRS about what I had found. And I was humble enough to basically let them know that, hey, if I've made a mistake somewhere, please just tell me, and you know, you can give me 20 lashes, and I'll just have to tuck my tail between my legs and, you know, wish I had never done it.
So you came in humbly and said, hey, these folks are saying this. Can you answer these questions? Tell people what happened next.
Well, I decided that it might be best to put together some of the highlights of my investigation into some kind of a report, because as you know, any criminal investigator has to put together a report that's reviewed by their superiors and the prosecutor to determine if someone should be prosecuted. So I was used to preparing reports, so I prepared a report of some of the highlights of the information that I had encountered. And I produced that report and gave it to my immediate supervisor. If you remember me talking about Bob Guarini, that friend from many years earlier, he ended up becoming my boss at the IRS in the San Jose, California CID office. So I had to give my report to Bob, the very guy who wanted me to get a job as an IRS special agent. And I asked him to forward that report and transmit a letter up the chain of command up to and including the commissioner. Because again, I felt a duty. In fact, the commissioner at the time, Commissioner Rosati, he issued a memorandum to all employees in the IRS telling them that if they ever encountered fraud, waste, or abuse, that they should report it immediately. So I was really just doing my duty and following IRS policy. Of course, I knew the message wouldn't go over too well, but still, they had the same duty. They took the same oath that I did, and I expected that even grudgingly so, that they would do something about it. But what they decided to do was to issue me a short memorandum that stated that they would not be responding to any of my questions and that they would provide me with the paperwork necessary to tender my resignation. And they immediately took my firearm and told me that I was to be placed on administrative leave. And they sent me home. They took my office key away, and I was supposed to go home for a week and think about what my next move would be. So they didn't fire me, but they certainly encouraged me to resign and flat out told me in writing that they were not going to address any of my concerns.
Now, Joe, how did they just show you the door?
Well, they put together a brief memorandum, and I understood from my chief, they call him special agents in charge now, but he actually told me that my report and my request for review went all the way up to the Assistant Commissioner for Criminal Investigation back in Washington, D.C. The only person higher than that gentleman is the commissioner himself. So that's how high up my request went. And yet when the answer came back down the chain of command, I was told in a memorandum, which is available, you know, on my website, people can look at it, where my chief told me, we're not going to be responding to your concerns, and we will provide you with the paperwork necessary to tender your resignation, and we're immediately placing you on administrative leave for 1 week, and you're to stay on call, but you're not, you know, you're not to come into this office, and you're supposed to stay at home and be on call.
So in America, asking questions about the law was something that they basically told you weren't welcome there.
Absolutely. I mean, I believe that I was adhering to my oath to support and defend the Constitution. As I mentioned earlier, I actually received a memorandum in my inbox, just like every other IRS agent, that I was supposed to report any indications of fraud, waste, or abuse. And so I did exactly what the IRS instructed me to do. And then the response was, we're not going to address any of these concerns, and there's the door.
Wow. Now, it's been a long time since we first met in the late 90s when I was there covering Operation Urban Warrior, a big military takeover drill, and happened to also get in touch with you because you'd been on the cover of a – was it Annie Shyster or was it
It was Media Bypass.
Media Bypass, that's right. So I remember going and meeting with you, and since then you've obviously learned a lot more. So just in summation – as you know, a former criminal investigator for the Treasury Department assigned to the IRS, badge gun, raiding people, the whole nine yards, you go do a criminal investigation, you discover, hey, you know, all is not well here. We didn't get this till 1913, same year as we got the Federal Reserve Act. It wasn't used on most Americans till the 50s, as you know. So how do we build a country without this? And why was it unconstitutional before? But now it's supposedly okay. I think I'm answering my question for me. I actually want your answer about now with all your knowledge, the CPA knowledge, the criminal investigator knowledge, you know, trying to ferret this out. Exactly how does the IRS get away with this? How does it tie into the Federal Reserve? Now they're announcing carbon taxes when you fly on an airplane. They're paid to private consortiums. You know, we see this model expanding in Europe. They have Goldman Sachs controlled presidents and prime ministers in multiple countries. They raise the taxes and now pay the money directly to the banks. So now I see things getting even more extreme, not just a quasi, you know, federal slash private Federal Reserve and pay your taxes into the Treasury and then it goes to the Federal Reserve and it's all these swaps and things. Now it's becoming 100% transparent and the Economist magazine brags, hey, Goldman Sachs conquered Europe. I mean, it's the same thing here. How transparent will it have to get? I mean, that's another question, until the servants of this system realize this is illegitimate. So let's go back and tackle that, you know, statement slash question there. In summation, what is the IRS? What's its relationship?
Well, I think you point out an interesting aspect of my looking into this. I saw basically a tentacle and had no idea how big the octopus is. You know, that the IRS and the federal income tax is just one of many tentacles that is tied into the monetary system in America, but then, of course, the monetary system throughout the world. And then who runs that monetary system and who implemented it and who decided that the federal income tax and the Federal Reserve would have to come into being at the same time in 1913, realizing that that was no coincidence whatsoever, that one, they're married, they're joined at the hip, they have to function together. And so, learning that the rabbit hole, just how deep it goes. And I know you've lived that same kind of life where you think that the rabbit hole has gone deep enough, and then there's just a whole nother, 1,000 feet, to traverse down. So, bottom line for me and all of my research is, number one, I don't encourage people to take on the IRS. I encourage people to educate themselves and understand the landscape. Okay, because you've got to do that first before you do anything different at all, if you do anything different at all. But other than that, as far as the IRS, their authority, basically, their authority is much more limited than they lead the American public to believe. Most Americans who work in America and live in America aren't liable to pay the federal income tax. And because there's an absence of a liability to pay the federal income tax, then according to the law, it's very clear there. They have no obligation to keep records. They have no obligation to file returns because those obligations come after you've been made liable for the tax. And that liability for the average American just isn't there. The other thing is, I don't like to call the income tax unconstitutional because I don't believe that it's unconstitutional. I think what has happened is the Congress and the Treasury Department formulated a way that they could basically fool the public into believing that they had an obligation to pay the federal income tax. And they used the existing statutes that did apply to certain Americans in certain limited circumstances. For example, if you're an American that works abroad, okay, you work over in Europe for some reason, then there could be tax provisions, income tax provisions that would actually apply to you and force you to pay the federal income tax. Or a person who comes here to work but retains their citizenship outside the United States, that would be another example of a framework and a scenario where someone might have to pay the federal income tax. So there are statutes in there that apply to some people. But through the media and through the government and, the Congress, everyone, the judiciary, everyone keeping silent and a wink and a nod, the IRS is able to operate as if everyone is required to pay and no one holds them accountable, or very, very rarely are they held accountable. So the IRS does what their job is, which is to just, slash and burn and take as much property as they can and get away with as much as they can. And because the American people, largely the time period before the internet, are just unaware of this, that this is even true. And then even if they find out it's true, well, then of course they're called kooks and, knuckle dragging mountain dwellers and militia members and racists. And there's all this little program that's ready for you if the veil is lifted off and you actually understand the truth. So the depth of the conspiracy, shall we say, or the depth of the, this mechanism is huge. It's gargantuan. And I would encourage people, try to get an idea of just how big this monster is before you go jousting with it.
Well, so many examples of this color of law thing pop into my mind while you were speaking. But all over the United States, there is no law that you've got to take vaccines to attend school, college, any of it. But they announce it's the law, and then they'll trick you. They'll kick you out of school for not taking the shot because of policy, but then they trigger criminally truancy laws because you're out of school, even though it's not applicable. It's the same in all 50 states because they kicked you out. But even if you were able to get to a jury trial, because it's family court and there aren't juries in most cases, still it's so complex that people don't understand it. The police arresting truants, even though they were kicked out by the school for not taking shots, they don't even understand it. And it's that model of where something is a fraud I always researched, why does the system love these? Well, it's because they know the loopholes and they're exempting themselves. Most of the big corporations and really powerful rich people pay almost no tax. Mitt Romney on record pays almost no tax. His wife almost pays no tax. You've got the Rockefellers and Rothschilds put their money in tax-free foundations and then only spend part of the profit on philanthropic operations that is actually stirring society. And the example just goes on and on and on and on and on where it is a fraud. And they know exactly what they're doing in so many cases. And, as you pointed out, though, then it gets to where it's institutionalized. And then that's why I don't recommend people say, you wimp, tell people not to pay it. Listen, I know for a fact my dad overpays the taxes. They've got him as a mark. They've shaken him down three times in my life. And I've watched it. I know for a fact, there's not just the whole debate about how the government, and I want you to speak to this, has this fraudulent income tax or this fraudulently applied, expanded income tax. What about the way they take stuff without due process? What about the shaking down people? What about in this economy where companies can't stay open and they just keep squeezing and squeezing, or how they're getting rid of the write-offs? I mean, I've seen the reports, even the Wall Street Journal, where they've gotten rid of almost all the investigators for people worth hundreds of millions or billions, and now they have the few investigators that are there, a few thousand, as you mentioned, who are actually busy messing, not even with middle class I've seen now, but they put them on, quote, blue collar groups. So the rich, they've set this up. They're getting the tax money through corporate welfare, and they're sicking the IRS on middle class and poor people, and the IRS isn't even allowed to go after them except for an occasional movie star to create fear. I mean, it's so mafia driven. I know I'm ranting here, but I mean, your take on that.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, what is really the most sinister to me is the bullying type nature. I mean, here they want all these anti-bullying laws. I wish they would apply them to the IRS and the EPA and all these federal agencies that are bullying good Americans. And the reason they bully that particular group, middle or lower income people, is because they can't fight back. And you were talking earlier in one of your shows about the shorter gentleman, the shorter police officer who was banging your head against the wall. I mean, who do they think they are? But of course, when they can bully people and they get away with it, well, then they figure, if I can bully one guy, tomorrow I'm going to bully two, and then I'm going to bully five, and then I'm going to bully 20. And it's this track record of being able to lie to people and get away with it that gives them the impetus to continue lying, because it works. And it's up to us, and that's why I'm so grateful for all that you do and all of your crew, is because these lies work, because people don't even realize that they're lies. And I think that's the first step, and why you do such a great job in exposing these lies and giving the platform to people like myself who are trying to stay alive and pull the arrows out of our back as we expose the lies in a particular walk of life that we come from.
Joe, since you raised that point, and people can learn more at your website that we've been posting underneath you off and on, tell us about your court case and this particular exhibit 04-035AF, because for those that just joined us or don't know, about your whole history, they actually tried to prosecute you. Well, they did prosecute you and tried to put you in prison for engaging in what your college degree is in, CPA work, simply trying to help people with their taxes and using what's in the IRS rules.
Well, basically, after I left the IRS in 1999, I reluctantly would help people with their IRS issues, and mainly because the place kind of gave me the willies after I left. I really didn't want a whole lot to do with it. But, carrying a gun and a badge for the IRS, and people think you know everything there is to know about the tax laws. And so I, got up to speed in order to help people. But this particular client, when this case I was prosecuted for, he had already paid income taxes for three particular years, and he wanted to ask for his money back. And it just so happens that that's what the IRS has encouraged people to do for decades, is if you have a problem with the income tax, pay the money first and then sue for a refund. Well, that's exactly what he wanted to do, and that is exactly what this client asked me to help him with, was to know what the IRS rule book said and apply those rules exactly to his request for a refund. And that's how I got involved with this client. And of course, I mean, as was found out in my trial, I'm a very meticulous, I mean, I'm an accountant, you know, I dot my I's and cross my T's. And so we followed the IRS rule book to the letter in order to seek a refund of previously paid income taxes. And it was that process, that request, that became the foundation for the allegations against me. The government, the IRS accused me of conspiring to defraud the United States of America by asking for the money back and by preparing three false amended tax returns for this client. And so that those were the allegations. And of course, thankfully, we still have some rights left. And I had a right to a jury trial. As you pointed out, it's rare in this day and age, with all the administrative state that's come up around us, to get 12 of your peers to actually evaluate your conduct. But I did have that opportunity, and thankfully they were paying attention and awake, and they could see that the government had no case. The U.S. Department of Justice, that was the prosecutors, they had no case. They claimed in the indictment that I had prepared three false federal income tax returns, but during testimony, none of their experts could point out a single false item or line in the tax returns that I had prepared. The special agent who investigated me was directly asked if he had seen any evidence of a conspiracy between me and the client, and he said no. So the jury, you know, I talked to the jurors later after the verdict, and the jury was saying to me, I mean, Joe, what we couldn't understand is why they were making the prosecution was making you look so good. And I said, well, they were using a lot of my work papers, the very documents that I put together to ask for this refund. And I did everything by the book. I was a CPA at the time, and I was just trying to advocate for my client and follow the IRS rule book. And for that, I was indicted, and they tried to put me in prison and silence and discredit me. Thankfully, the jury was listening and paying attention, and they saw that there was absolutely no evidence of any wrongdoing, and I was acquitted of all four charges.
Wow. And, you know, now we read about big corporations not paying taxes, but then they argue, well, but our executives pay taxes. But you look at that, on average, they pay less than 10%. The ultra rich have written this. They created the income tax to control this country. You know, it's in the Communist Manifesto, and it's 10 planks, Joe, as you know, to have an income tax. This is the opposite of the American system. And as Ron Paul and others, yourself, expose the IRS and the private Federal Reserve. Now over 90% of Americans in polls know that it's private and a fraud. So you know, they've gone from just saying, oh, you're racist if you say the Federal Reserve's private or the income tax is a fraud. Well, now that doesn't work anymore. So what's the next phase then? Because as we're seeing, the more taxes we pay, the poorer we get. You know, Kennedy cut the income tax by close to 50%, tax receipts doubled. But look at California passing carbon taxes now, which is further killing your economy. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. They want to shut down the society so they can consolidate it. So where do you see this going as people wake up on one end, but also as a tyranny tries to stomp that liberty back down to the ground?
I'm extremely concerned because, as I'm sure you've recognized, I've heard you say it on your show, we're in a sprint with the enemy to the finish line. And that sprint, I mean, it's just fast as we can run and as fast as they can run. They're running with the tyranny and the sword and the boot on our necks, and we're running with the truth and trying to educate as many people as we can. And I'm not sure who's going to reach there first, but if you look at history, and of course those excellent documentaries where you point out how many hundreds of millions of people have been executed, killed, tortured by government. Government is the entity that we need to watch out for. Neither you nor I advocate that we don't have any government, but that we recognize that, as you've pointed out, government is a about the servant. It's you really have to watch that servant very carefully, and we all need to redouble our efforts to educate our neighbors, even if they look at us like we have two heads. That even happens to me. You know, of course, when I show them my picture of what I used to do, they kind of shrink back and it kind of shuts them up. So I know most people don't have a picture like that to show around. But nevertheless, keep trying, keep praying, of course, because God can do amazing things in opening people's eyes. Even those that are on the other side, the dark side, their eyes can be open. So we need to continue to pray for that. But we can't give up.
I agree with you. Tell me about this particular exhibit from the trial, though. It's an email here, and we're going to put it on screen here in just a moment. But, Joe, tell us about this.
Well, the document was fascinating in the sense that I only learned about it a few minutes before this gentleman, Tom DeLeonardo, who you can see at the top of the email. That's his the person who sent the email. But the nutshell of the story is that when about 2 years after I resigned from the IRS, I bumped into this Tom DeLeonardo at the IRS building, like at the foyer down at the bottom of the, on the street, basically. And he said to me, "It's really a shame that you've decided to hang around with all these greedy people." And of course, I was very, taken aback that he would accuse me of being greedy and hanging around with greedy people. So I said to him, "Tom, look, you used to work with me, and I hope you see that I had integrity, at least back when we used to work together. Can't you, who actually works for the Department of Justice, arrange for me to have a meeting with someone who can address these questions and concerns I have, and then I can share those questions and concerns and the answers with the rest of America, and we can get rid of this? I mean, if I'm wrong or I'm doing bad things for our country, expose me, but I'm sincere. You used to work with me. You know I'm sincere." Well, it turns out, Alex, that Tom went back to his office back in D.C., and but a few days after he met with me, he wrote an email to his boss, Ronald Cimino. And Ronald Cimino still works for the U.S. Department of Justice, but he's been promoted. He's now, I believe, a deputy attorney general under Eric Holder. And Cimino got this email, and as you can see in here, if you're able to point some of those things out on the screen, he does point out that he claims that my associates are mostly notorious illegal tax protesters who would most assuredly be disruptive and uncooperative. But Tom also says about me that he spent many hours working with me and that he believes that I would listen to the Department of Justice Tax Division. So this email was given to us, the defense, just a few minutes before Tom testified in my trial. And what this email points out is that even when a Department of Justice trial attorney asks his boss, who was in charge of enforcement of the income tax prosecutions for the entire Western United States, and he asked that boss for a response and telling him that I'm a sincere person, the response he got was nothing. Ronald Cimino did not even respond to this email. So that goes to show not only that I was sincere in trying to get answers all the way back in 2001, but someone who worked in the Department of Justice and put through a request up his chain of command was ignored as well. So the jury could see that Bannister has tried through every possible channel to get answers that would, contradict his findings, and no one's come up with anything. No one's tried to talk with him or do anything.
No, this shows, when you're in the right, you're going to show somebody the law. You're going to answer the questions instead of calling people kooks or nuts, just like they'd call us kooks and nuts for saying the Federal Reserve was private. It doesn't work anymore. So here you are, you seem... And he's like, "Oh, Joe, you hang out with greedy people," because he's, morally mad that you're making him think. And you come back with, "Hey, why don't you, I'm a real person. We were friends. Why don't you then just have them please answer my question? Maybe you can get some results here. Maybe you can have them show me this and I'll be happy." And he goes and tries to find out, and he can't. Because it's all a fraud. In fact, here's the ultimate example right here, and I want your take on this. Because I've studied this in depth. It's the end of World War II. America totally trusts the government for the first time. Because we're the good guys. We just beat the Nazis, so we must be perfect. And the government's our mommy. It's our daddy. It's our big brother. And so they take the income tax that wasn't used, but for maybe one, you know, point of the top percent, and then that was only a few points, you know, sounded reasonable. Now they expand it out. But something else happened after World War II. They started the double set of books, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, which then shuffles off over 70% of the money on average of county, city, state, federal, you name it, to these offshore banks for, quote, investments. And they also came to all the churches through the big denominations and said, you do get your First Amendment exemption from taxation and regulation because Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof as the First Amendment begins. Then the press and the right to assemble and redress the grievances. But the first part is religion. And they came to him and they said, just sign this quick, easy form. There's not even a filing fee. And you get your tax exemption. So they got them to opt in, but the trick was they became a charitable organization under U.S. code and regulatory systems. So that's how the trick works. And that's what the IRS is. That's what all of this is. I mean, I've read the federal cases of trucks were starting to get on the new highways people paid for and were tearing them up. And they said, those are heavy trucks. They're making money. They're commercial. Make them pay more. They're using your road. Then they used that, began to tell people, okay, well, it's the end of World War II. Get a little paper ID, not even with your picture on it, just to prove your car's been checked out and that, you know, you're paying for the road, even though your gas tax is already paying for it. And then now it expands out to everything. This is how they did the IRS. This is how they got the churches into 501c3, now controlling what they politically can do, when before Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. They trick you into saying, I'm applicable as somebody working in Puerto Rico or Guam. I'm applicable as a charity now. I'm no longer a church. I'm a commercial driver. And it's all lawyer fraud. And once you get it, that's all they do. Because it's done by color of law. It's not even really unconstitutional. Because as you said, it's all fraud. They trick you into the contractual agreement. But now it's been done by custom so long, even if you figure this out, the police, the investigators, they don't know. They were like you before. They really think you're a kook. And so the juries think it too in most cases. You're going to jail. It doesn't matter that they're sending preachers to jail who aren't 501c3. And it says Congress shall make no law respecting a establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And until the 50s, no, this didn't even exist. It's all this fraud, but the big kicker is that they do it not just because it's fraud and a trick, but because the elite know it, and then you learn they all use the loopholes and are exempt, and they're still living under the Constitution. I mean, it's masterful. It really is masterful.
It is, and it's all a coordinated effort, as you know, you've documented over and over again. And that's, you know, of course, what was disappointing to me was I was disappointed enough to see that it was such a scam going on with the federal income tax, but to see that it was just one tentacle of a humongous octopus was disappointing on the one hand, but it also made me rely more on my faith and realize that, you know, God knows what's going on, and we need to just to pray and be on the side of good and expose the evil and make sure we're not having part in it. Because it is a huge monster that's out there, but we shouldn't feel intimidated because together we can do amazing things. And of course, with God's help, his guidance, his inspiration, we can do great things. So, I think I have plenty of encouragement. I don't want people to think I'm discouraged. Been through a few harrowing experiences for sure, and I may be through some more in the future. But the bottom line is, as this email points out, when you are an honorable person and you're a good example, the government and these tyrants, they come up short, and their dirty tricks don't always work.
Well, that's right. Now, they've really tried to persecute other IRS agents and not so much Treasury people that have been honorable, but they are really scared of people that work for the system, like Saul of Tarsus, waking up. I mean, that shows that's an Achilles heel. And a lot of people are like, well, then why should I, you know, if you're a cop or a federal agent, you know, out there watching, why should you then, you know, stand up to this or send us documents or things like that? Because corruption doesn't just stop at one point historically. It always keeps moving. And I try to explain this to people, that corruption can be right here, but then as soon as corruption's allowed, even more corrupt people get in and push the barrier back until pretty soon everything's fair game. And here's an article out of the Daily Mail today. And it's a headline, Mitt Romney's wife had blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs sex trafficking fund. And this is kidnapped women, children, you name it. UN's heavily involved. Anybody doesn't believe it's just search UN sex trade, UN child kidnapping. I mean, it's in the millions over a decade. I mean, it's so huge. They've got cruise ships that have got sex slaves on them, folks, that the Clintons have been connected to. World Net Daily's done reports. And this stuff is so crazy. Like DynCorp here in Austin caught running child kidnapping rings worldwide, and then they run the private CPS groups here in Texas. And I tell police on the street, and they just laugh at me because it sounds so crazy. Hey, police, you see that building? That's the biggest sex traffickers in the world. And the cops just laugh at me because it's like, yeah, right, buddy. They just don't get it. But here's the Daily Mail. It's also in the Associated Press. And it's not about her blind trust with Goldman Sachs. I'm not even saying, you know, Mitt Romney's wife's bad. My point is, this is so mainline. The question shouldn't be, why does she have a blind trust invested in Goldman Sachs sex trafficking fund? Why are there mutual fund investments on sex traffic? Not just women who are above 18. And that's all enslavement anyways with drugs and the rest of it. But 15-year-old girls and younger. I mean, it's so mainline. I've seen the congressional hearings where Congresswoman McKinney brings up, hey, DynCorp's trafficking little girls and boys. Here's the documents. And Rumsfeld says, well, we put them in a penalty box and didn't give them any contracts in Bosnia and Herzegovina for a year as their punishment. And then she goes, no, you didn't. And he goes, oh, let Dr. Chu, the head of the Pentagon budget at the time. And Chu's like, well, we're just allowed to do that. And then they go after her and get her. I mean, it's just like I'm living in the Twilight Zone here. Again, why is it that Mitt Romney's wife's invested in this? The question is, why does Goldman Sachs have a slave sex trafficking fund? I mean, look, I've got another one right here for people. This is why I'm freaking out. Bloomberg, banks financing Mexico gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. In a two-year period, $378.4 billion in drug money. I mean, and they didn't get, they paid a 1.3% fine on this. I mean, this is what I'm saying. If we know this, Joe, what else is going on? How much further is it going to go? This is like ridiculous. This is what makes third world countries collapse, is that people just let corruption run rampant, and finally, everything just collapses. The reason America's had all this prosperity is we weren't perfect, but we had the most liberty and were the most upstanding people when it came to business. And we didn't put up with out-of-control corruption. That's why we have this country. And people don't get this. It, as we lose our liberty and our morals, all the prosperity goes out the window.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, you're exactly right. That it really comes down to our individual morals and our own ethical, you know, our own codes of conduct. And if we're going to, because we want a higher dividend payment, invest in companies that'll get you a higher dividend, but they're doing immoral things, then we're complicit in that. And we need to be watchful to make sure that we're not investing in those things. And we need to put our money in good places, not in evil places that just enable the evil people to do evil things with the funds.
So, exactly. But I mean, what I'm saying is worse than that. I agree that she should know what's going on, but, you know, she's saying a blind trust. The point is, how do they have funds for narcotics money and funds for kidnapped women? I mean,
well, as you've pointed out so many times to the listeners with the quadrillion, what's it up to now?
Yeah, it's over 1,000. It's over 1,000 trillion.
Talk about hush money and bribe money. I mean, they've got all they need to build their bunkers, to bribe anyone and everyone. To forward the agenda. So really all we can do is expose these things and be good examples ourselves. I remember being told as a kid that, you know, the pagans would look at the Christians and at least note how they loved one another. they actually cared about one another, and pagans who had no, you know, interest in Jesus Christ recognized that they loved one another. So, it's not old school. You know, we should still be doing that, and we should still be watching out for our neighbor. And we'll survive longer if we keep an eye on our neighbor than just only on ourselves and our own pocketbook.
Exactly. It's all coming to a head. And I know people out there watching, I don't claim to have all the answers. I don't even feel like I do a very good job in the final equation, but I'm doing the best I can. And I'm asking other people out there who have skills, you know, different gifts. You've got to fight this. I mean, this is getting really bad, really fast. And if you can't feel in your gut, and not just intellectually, the danger that our society's in, if you don't know where societies go with democide and wars, you think things are bad now, folks. They're about to get a lot worse. But we have a real fighting chance with good people out there like Joe Bannister that are taking action and speaking up. And we've woken people up to a great extent. Now is the time to put that into action. Joe, it's been really great having you here with us commercial-free on InfoWars Nightly News. In 2 minutes, closing comments or points you'd like to make.
Well, again, just to thank you for having me on the show, Alex. I'm a big fan. I watch very frequently. Keep up on the how big the octopus really is. And I can't thank you enough for all that you do in that department. You really help to enlighten me, my family. I think you're doing a great job. And I, you know, just stay humble like you already are, and you'll do fine. And I would just encourage all of us in America and those that are watching around the world to be a good example. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. That's the evil one wants you to be discouraged. There's plenty to be happy about, or at least feel that you have blessings. And we just need to keep on pounding away at the evil. And if it comes back, that's okay. Just keep pounding away and keep shrinking it, because otherwise it will just envelop all of us. And
you know, I think you just hit a key here to interrupt you, because it's absolutely true. People say, yeah, we beat them on this land grab twice, but they just came back. That's the whole point. It's an eternal struggle between the forces of corruption, the forces of good. This isn't, I mean, raising kids, having families. I always tell my wife, I say, success is just surviving and being good people. Success is trying to be a good person. It doesn't even mean we're perfect. You know, the devil will get you down, you know, and, oh, look, you did this bad thing. Oh, look, you did that. At least we have a conscience. Who we've really got to feel sorry for is people who don't even have one. And it's our job to get people that still have a soul to be involved. But that idea that we've got to beat the New World Order once and for all, like a Hollywood movie, and that it's all got to happen right away. You know, they didn't build this evil overnight. We're not going to dismantle it overnight. And we're having incredible successes. In fact, you were saying on the radio today when you popped in that you're seeing people that 10 years ago, agents, you know, old friends you had that made fun of you and stuff. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just to paraphrase, that quietly they're starting to wake up. I mean, can you just spend a minute or two on that?
You're absolutely right. I mean, these are people who haven't mustered the courage to speak out publicly, but I've heard through sources that I have at least a quiet support. And these are people that I can only imagine from the early days in 99 when I left that, you know, they thought, some of them even told me in emails after I left, people that I was in training with in the IRS. I've been talking to everybody and they say, wow, Joe went off the deep end. That's what was being said in 1999. But they're not saying that quite as prevalently, as we, you know, get into 2012 and 2013. Slowly but surely, everyone's ox is being gored, so to speak. And they're seeing that you're not immune if you're a federal agent. You're not immune if you're a public official of some sort. You're not immune. We are all in danger. And more people are realizing that. Thankfully, people in government are realizing that as well. But I'd like to encourage the people in government to take it up a few notches, okay? Don't, you know, be prudent with your decisions, but don't think that you don't have something to contribute to force back evil.
Well, I agree, because I've been reading some of the federal studies, and they had an article in the Washington Post last week where they're having hearings on Capitol Hill. because the IRS won't attack little old ladies as happily anymore to get their house and get bonuses. The Homeland Security knows that the terror thing's made up predominantly, and they're calling it low morale. But what's happening is government people in government at record rates, they were saying, just are refusing to follow these orders, and they're just doing it passively. You know, the old thing of sabotage, sticking your sandal in the machine, I showed the article earlier where they're getting rid again of the criminal investigators to go after billionaires. Well, people see that now. You know, my dad's a dentist who has a massive practice, and the IRS headquarters for four states is right by his office. So 10% or so of his patients are IRS agents. They listen to the show. They now know what's going on. They now bring in stuff going, yeah, look, these tax-free foundations, they don't pay anything. And so they're getting it. The little business owner going bankrupt who can't pay the taxes, their understanding isn't greedy. They see the businesses shutting down while these people controlling trillions of dollars are paying nothing and getting taxpayer money in bailouts.
No, you're right. And you're also pointing out, like with your dad, I mean, the same thing goes on in my family, that we don't know. DV Kid saying that on the radio back in 96, she didn't know that I was out there listening. But if we keep on beating that drum and we keep on talking, those results may not happen immediately, or we may not even be aware of those results, but they're happening. It's percolating. It's percolating. It's percolating. It's percolating. And we need to just keep at it. And, you know, what your dad is experiencing, I'm experiencing as well. I think it's happening all over the country and even all over the world.
Amazing. Let me say bye to you here at the end of the show. I'm going to sign off. Joe Bannister, God bless you. You're a testament to liberty. And like you said, it's those ripples in the pond. Just keep getting the message out. Keep getting it out. And then people like yourself taking stands. I think it's the persecution that finally probably woke up those former fellow agents. Because yes. Our own persecution then becomes a testament as well. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
Wow. Well, that was an extended, I don't know, almost hour-long interview with Joe Bannister. I don't know how we're ever going to cut this show down to an hour officially. I know we're on every week for 2 hours on a pretty big cable channel in England that's on basic cable. They just cut it all down to 2 hours. A lot of cable systems are already picking it up, just downloading it off prisonplanet.tv. But soon we will try to launch the official show with the uplinks and all of it. This is for subscribers and the millions that watch it on YouTube and other places. And it's another blessing. People say, is it too late? The fact that I'm even on air or alive shows there's still a lot of good people out there. The fact that we're reaching so many people and having such success, even though I don't do that good of a job, is another testament to the fact that people are resonating with truth. They're hungry for it. And so all we've got to do is have the courage to stand up against this. But I've said it before, it's not even really courage. If you study history, you'd have to have crazy blind courage to not want to fight this. In fact, quite frankly, I'm just scared of this thing coming into full fruition. I guess it's not courage. I mean, it's self-preservation. And that's what I want people to get. It's not just a Joe Bannister or Ron Paul and Alex Jones, you know, somebody, Bob Chapman who's fighting this. This is for everybody. You're only alive once. This is all happening right now. This life is a test. That's what it's all set up for on this planet out here in space. And this is a test to see what you're going to do. And the enemy wants to tell you all day that that's not the case. There is no God. I've studied the globalists. They are 100% spiritual. They just worship the bad guy. All right, that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. You want to support us, those of you out there watching it on the wider web, become a subscriber. 15 cents a day funds all this. There's a 15-day free trial right now running at prisonplanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. There's links at InfoWars.com. But make no mistake, history is happening right now. We've entered that crossroads, that jump point. Our future destiny is being decided right now. So get involved in the fight. Don't wish later that you hadn't, because we can control our destiny when we take action with God's help. See you back tomorrow night.